Approaching the final verses in Hebrews chapter 11, we see at this point the author of Hebrews pointing out five events surrounding Moses' life, in which faith plays a key role in shaping the history of the Jewish people. Now, out of these five events that happen in this portion of Hebrews chapter 11, three of them are dealing directly with the faith that Moses had. But two of them are not. Two of them are dealing with circumstances that revolve around Moses, but not Moses' faith specifically. The first one is when Moses is born. He is born the son of Amram and Jochebed. And it's their faith in God which convinces them that they should hide Moses from Pharaoh's edict, which says that all the newborn male babies are to be put to death. And then the last one of these five events that happen regarding faith is when the children of Israel are standing by the shore of the Red Sea and it has been parted, and they have to take the next step, which is stepping on what was moments before that time, the watery seabed of the Red Sea. For the Jewish people, the Exodus, for the religious Jewish people, the Exodus is the most important event in history. They consider that point at which they flee from Egypt, when Pharaoh tells them that they can go and they are able to flee from Egypt, that is the start of them as a nation. Up till that point, it's a people group. But once they leave Egypt, and it's really once they cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land, it's that point where they now become a nation. So for the Jewish nation, this event is very important. And for us, it's very important too, because as we look at this event, we can see God's working in the lives of men through His grace and His mercy, and how that is an incredible picture of what Christ has done for us through His grace and mercy. That as they are freed from their bondage and slavery to the Egyptians, by Christ's blood, we are freed from our bondage to our enslavement from sin. For most people, when you talk about the Exodus, and you were to say, who led the people of Israel? Who led the children of Israel out of Egypt? Their first response is going to be Moses, right? But if you think about it, Moses didn't lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. God led the children of Israel out of Egypt. We have learned over the years from Ted's teaching and now from Val's teaching that whenever a parable is told, or whenever a story from the history of Israel is told, that God is always the hero. God is always the hero of this story. So as we look at God leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, we can't look and say, oh, look what Moses did. It's what God did in His mercy, in His grace. And we see that in Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, where God has appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And he's having this discussion with Moses, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters. For I am aware of their suffering, so that I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites and of the Hittites and of the Amorites and of the Perizzites and of the Hivites and of the Jebusites. Now behold, the cries of the sons of Israel have come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians have oppressed them. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people out of my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. And even though God used Moses to go before Pharaoh, and even though God used Moses to lead the people out of Israel, out of Egypt, as he leads them out of Egypt, the beginning and the end of it all is that it is God. It is God who is bringing the people out of Egypt. It was his love for the people that brought them from slavery. It was his love, his mercy, and his grace that he poured out on the children of Israel to bring them from their affliction. And when they stand at the foot of Mount Sinai, and Moses has gone up Mount Sinai, and God gives him the Ten Commandments, God starts out by saying in Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He doesn't say, look at what Moses did. Look at what you did, Moses. You brought the children out of the land of Egypt. He says, I am the one who brought the children out of the land of Egypt. All glory goes to God alone. I spent a lot of time this week as I prepared for speaking this morning and for talking about Moses and the faith that he had. I spent a lot of time thinking, what must it have been like for the children of Israel in their slavery as the Passover approached, and as it slowly dawned on them that after 400 years of slavery, they were going to be free. And so I'm going to do something a little bit different this morning, something I don't think that I have ever done before, because as I spent the time thinking about this, I thought, now, if I were in the shoes of one of the children of Israel, and at this point, up to this time, they're known only as the children of Israel because Jacob's name was changed to Israel. They are his children. They're not a nation. They're not the Israelites yet. They are the children of Israel. And if I was in the shoes of one of the Israelites, one of the children of Israel, on the eve of the Passover, on the eve of the Exodus out of Egypt, what would it have been like? And so I took and I looked at the scripture talking about the Exodus, and I looked at what happened afterwards and how the children of Israel responded to God and his leading them out, and as they responded to the hardships of life, I sat down and I wrote, this is what it would be like if I was there. And so I wrote this down, and I'm going to read it to you. And hopefully it will be something that will be of value to you. We'll see. Picture with me, if you will, the land of Goshen in Egypt. The year is 1446 BC. I return to my one-room mud brick home, having just spent the whole day in the hot desert sun. The dry cracks in my fingers start to bleed again where I've worn them to the bone making mud bricks. And my back still hurts. It's recently felt the bite of an Egyptian whip. I gather the few skinny animals that my wife and I own into the lower portion of our house. Near exhaustion, I climb the three steps that lead to the small living portion of our home. Hungry and near starvation, I plop down on the floor, ready for the meager evening meal. The sun is about to go down, so it will be the first meal of the new day. But I can't rest, not yet, for this meal will be like no other. I bring my gods down from the shelf and to worship before I eat, but my wife gently lays her hand on my arm. That won't do anymore. You must return to Yahweh, the God of Abraham, our father Abraham. After all, wasn't it you who cried out to him to deliver us from our bondage? She says. Embarrassed, I grab the stupid clay gods and rush out and smash them in the street. Why have I clung to these clay idols that so many of our people have adopted while living here in Egypt all these generations? Change is coming, they say. Our freedom is being fought for. But it is a freedom which comes at great cost. Our Egyptian overseers have become even more harsh as these strange plagues have grown in intensity. Now, tonight, we are told to gather what we can carry. If we can afford one, we are to kill a spotless lamb. If we can't, we are to share one with our neighbors. Then we're to splatter the blood on the framework of our doors, some at the top and some on each side. What is that all about? Death is passing over us tonight? The firstborn? I just don't understand. This man, Moshe Ben Amram, or whatever he's calling himself now, wasn't he that spoiled brat that was raised by the princess? Passed himself off as one of the royals, didn't he? That was until it came out that he was one of us. Just another one of the children of Yisrael. Just another slave child. Wasn't he the man who killed the Egyptian overseer and hid his body in the sand? Oh, how I remember the wrath of the Egyptians that rained down on us after they discovered that. That is, until Moshe fled into the wilderness. It was just one more excuse for the Egyptians to beat us. Now here he is, 40 years later, claiming to be sent by the great I Am, Yahweh. That's a name we haven't heard very much around here the last few years. But it is the name we hear when we hear the stories of our forefathers being told. We are the children of Israel, after all. And we tell those stories a lot. We do tell those stories a lot. How many times did our fathers tell us, never forget who you are. You are among the promised seed of Abraham, of Yitzhak, and of Yaakov. It is a promise made by Yahweh himself, or so our fathers have told us. 400 years have passed. Not a word, not a whisper, not a breath. There have been no signs from I Am. But this Moshe guy, he's got quite the following. If you think about it, these plagues that have struck the Egyptians, well, maybe Moshe is sent from Yahweh. Our father, Yosef, did tell us that we would be rescued and taken out of slavery. If it is true, then praise be to Moshe, who brought us these plague, brought these plagues down upon the Pharaoh. May his soul rot. Pharaoh's that soul, that is, not Moshe's. Well, the blood has been spilt and applied to the door as instructed. Everything is packed that we can carry, and the meal has been eaten. It was an unusual meal. Why did we have to wear our sandals? And why did we have to have a staff in our hands? Oh, how I wish my wife had had time to let the bread raise. We are an unusual people. We're not a nation. We're more like a big extended family. Really big. I'm told we're about to become a nation. Well, there sure is enough of us to make a nation. It's gotten very quiet. Wait. What's that sound? Sounds like someone in despair. Yes, and there's more. Crying. Screaming. Has death really come to the firstborn? When I think of all those households not covered by the blood of the Lamb, the sounds of horror coming from the Egyptian neighborhood, it's almost too much to bear. The sun is coming up now. I don't think anybody slept last night. Be ready to go, he said. Okay. Who would be knocking on my door at this hour? It's Aaron, Moshe's brother. You know, Amram's and Jochebed's son. He is here with Yeshua, the son of Nun. We are free, Aaron said. Moses told us, or Pharaoh told us to leave. Yeshua added, the Egyptians are throwing their gold and jewels at our people and telling us, take this and get out. Just leave and don't come back, they're saying. We're free. After 400 years, we're free, Yeshua said. We are free, I responded. Moshe is our hero. Oh, how stupid of me. Moshe's not our hero. Yahweh, he is. Praised be to the God of Abraham and of Yitzhak and of Jacob. As I look at the Exodus, as I look at the children of Israel, and think about what they must have been feeling on that night, the night of all nights, when death passed over. And then that slow dawning that they were no longer slaves, that they were to be free. After 400 years, they were to be free. And you would think that right here, right now, they would have sung the praises of God. And some did, I'm sure. But as we see, when they cross over the Red Sea, and they're at Mount Sinai, and God is giving Moses the Ten Commandments, and he takes too long. And the people down at the base of the mountain, they're saying, is he coming back? What are we going to do? Maybe we should just return to worshiping false gods. Maybe we should just have Aaron build us a golden calf that we can worship like we did back in Egypt. The children of Israel forgot that it wasn't Moses that was the hero of the story, but that it was God that was the hero of every story. How much of that how often are we very much like that? We lead our lives, we see the incredible work that God has done in our lives, how he's forgiven our sins, how he's washed away the wickedness that we once were. But when we look back on our forefathers, when we look back to Noah, to Enoch, we see the incredible relation they had with God because they walked with God. We see how God said to Abraham, walk before me and be blameless. And still, we forsake that walk so very often in our life with our Savior. We take our eyes off of him and we put them on ourselves. We make ourselves the hero of the story and forget to keep God as the hero of the story. You know, so often when I look at the children of Israel and all the blunders, all the mistakes they make, I want to be really critical and say, what was wrong with them? Why didn't they understand? And then I look at myself and I say, God, what's wrong with me? Why don't I understand? Why don't I remember that you are the hero of my story? Let me walk closely with you every day. Not in the strength that I have within myself, but in the strength that he has and that he has given me. Because his strength is made perfect in my weakness. I think for the average Jew living in Egypt at the time of the dawning of what God was doing for them and of their people, it must have been something like what I go through so often in my walk with my Savior. When I forget to make him the hero of my story, when I forget that it's Christ in me, the hope of glory, and not what I can do, not who I am. And I have to look back to the men like Enoch, like Moses, not Moses, like Noah, and like Abraham, who the Bible says walked with God. And were blameless. Not because they lived a life that was exemplary, but because God imputed his righteousness onto them because of their faith. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for such examples of faith, that it might remind us to not keep our eyes on ourselves, but to keep our eyes on you, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Help us to walk closely with you in all the things that we do. And help us to remember to glorify your precious and holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.